Happy Friday, Gym World. I have a great episode for you this week. Between my work over at Two Brain Business and Kilo, I probably talk to a few hundred gym owners every single year. And one of the most common things that we hear from gym owners on either of those businesses is that I just need more leads. If I could just get a couple more bodies through the door every single day, I would have a completely different business. And selling, marketing, automation and gym management software, I can look back and see which gyms are doing better than others at lead generating activities. So we pulled the most successful gyms and asked a few of them to come on the show. Today, I am going to break down Lisa and Di Palmer's entire process. So they're going to share their ads, they're going to share their content, they are going to share their lead nurture strategy, so you can just steal it and implement it in their gym. Lisa and Di own two CrossFit gyms in Berkshire, England. They're OG CrossFit affiliate owners, so they started 15 years ago, and they have a few things that make their gym unique. So the first one is their average revenue per member is over $300 a month, which is rare in CrossFit. That is almost double what the average affiliate charges. And the reason their average revenue per member is so much higher is not because their group classes are so expensive. Their group classes are in line with everybody else in the area. They just have two programs that are much more expensive than group CrossFit training. The first one is a high ticket transformation program that costs between $1,200 and $1,300 a month. And it's centered around people with aggressive weight loss or transformation goals. It also has a lot of elements of the longevity movement that's pretty interesting. So it includes blood work, VO2 max testing, really a higher end program for a client who wants to look better faster. And the other thing that they do is they offer semi-private training. And that is rare for CrossFit. So rather than, and that's different than small group training. So small group training is 4 to 6 people, everybody's doing the same workout. Semi-private training is 4 to 6 people, everyone is doing an individualized workout. So they're semi-private. And an offering like this is substantially more expensive than group training. They charge around $45 a session and they bundle it into a membership. So you can get a 2 times a week, 3 times a week, or 4 times a week membership at around $45 a session. And this is going to be appealing to someone who's maybe a little more deconditioned or someone who's a little older, needs to scale a lot of movements and is not comfortable with doing CrossFit in a large group setting. Or maybe it's someone like myself who's recovering from an injury and really wants to avoid certain movements altogether and feels uncomfortable scaling in a class. Or it could be someone who just has tricky times for when they work out and the general peak class times do not work for them. And between those two, it's accounted for almost 40% of their revenue. So only like 50 to 60% of their revenue comes from group training, which is rare in CrossFit. It's usually closer to like 90 to 100%. The other thing that makes them amazing is that they consistently get over $300 300 leads a month. The average gym owner gets about 25 a month is what we show. So they're getting more than 10 times the average gym owner. And they're not spending a boatload on ads. They only spend like £750 per location. And the reason for that is the amount of leads that they're generating, they can't really nurture anymore properly. And so Di is their sales guy and he breaks down their entire lead nurture process, but he's not concerned with maximizing the amount of leads they get. So he'll talk about this. He's really concerned about maximizing the amount of nurture he can put into every single lead. So I literally ask him on the show, it's like, why don't you just ramp up your advertising to infinity? And then you'll have a bazillion leads. And he's basically like, I just can't call them fast enough. I can't make the most of the leads that we are paying for. And I think that is a forgotten part of the marketing process, right? Everybody wants more leads. Nobody wants to nurture the leads that they currently have. So when you're going through this, if you're an OG gym owner, you may be hearing stuff that you, there's nothing revolutionary, right? But these are people who run an incredibly successful gym, very profitable. They're both really humble, but what makes them special is they can just take information, implement it, and do the stuff that matters over and over and over and over again. And over a 15-year career, that's the difference between having an average gym just keeping the lights on to being wildly successful like these guys are. So without further ado, I want to bring you into the lead nurture and marketing strategies of Lisa and Di Palmer of Gas Station Fitness. Enjoy, Gym World.
So we know from our data set, the average gym's getting about 25 leads a month. We know from you guys that you guys do like over 10 times that. So what's the secret? How do we get some leads?
There's loads of different elements, but I think it's.
Well, let's start from the top. What gets you the most leads of the things that you do?
I think for us, it's having a variety of different marketing campaigns. So when we just did graphics, it was okay. But we kind of mix between videos, copy, you know, text graphics, photo graphics, member celebration graphics. And we just kind of carousel those different things. So we make sure that we kind of grab people's attention. We're very specific about who we're targeting with our campaigns. So, you know, with Windsor, for example, we know that most people are between the ages of 40 and 70. So therefore we make sure that we home in and we target that particular population. We also, and full disclosure, we also have someone who goes in every 2 weeks to optimize our ads. I'm not saying you have to do that, but that's been really helpful for us because, you know, it just makes sure that the cost per lead stays at a good level so that we're not overexpending on that.
All right. So you said you have like a variety of campaigns, but what you mean is you're posting on your socials and you have a variety of post types, right? That was the first thing you mentioned.
Yeah, we do a bit of both. We do both paid marketing and we do kind of organic marketing. So we do have someone who does our social media content on our pages. But behind the scenes, we're also doing about 4 or 5 different marketing campaigns at the same time, which have paid.
Okay.
So we do a mixture, if that's what you're asking, John.
Yes. And what kind of ads are you running?
Targeted ones. So our most recent one has been really popular. That's our Forever Strong marketing campaign. And that's been really, really popular, hasn't it? I think we've got about 60 leads in the space of about 2-3 weeks.
And what's the actual offer itself?
Okay, sorry, good question. So we don't offer. We just try and appeal to the problems of our avatar.
So you're saying it's just a copy or a video, and it's like, this is how to get back in the bathtub if you're really old. And there's no kind of like, sign up for a free thing. There's nothing. It's just talking.
Yeah.
We're going to get to the bottom of this right now. We're going to pull this up. We're going to pull this up in the ad library. So this is a 90-day fitness challenge. This is, we have 6 slots left for the men who want to look and feel great. 90-day fitness challenge. So that you're
looks
offering
at least familiar.
Challenge.
This is Slack. I don't feel like I'm going crazy.
So this is Slack. Right. If you flip to Windsor, that's what we're running our Forever Strong program on.
Discover this new program that gives you the exact steps to transform your body, boost your confidence, and make working out fun. 90-day transformation. Looking. All right. Here's a kid's one with a video on the bottom of it. All right. So these look like, these look like less. So this is, do you want professional health advice from some of the most qualified, experienced coaches in the area? And then this one's pushing to a free intro. Then this one looks like a value post. So will lifting weights make me bulky? As a CrossFit coach, this is by far the number one question I get asked by personal training clients and athletes. All right. And then you go through and ask it. And then is this a video here? If you click that, oh no, blog post. Okay. And then it looks like here's a social proof one. We won the best independent gym 2021-2022. Congratulations. All right. Accepting new members. So that's a brand one. Here's some social proof ones. So smiling members, like before and after. So it seems like there's a pretty decent mix of hitting people with like a challenge. It seems like you're doing some brand stuff in the form of like social proof and testimonials. And then it seems like you're running a couple of some value post type stuff. Well, this is your, this is the mothership, right? This is the larger of the two gyms.
How would you explain that, Elise?
Well, I think most of them are running off Slab, but there is the Windsor one as well, which you can't see the ads there. But no, they're about. I think Windsor's just slightly grown ahead of Slab more recently.
Maybe because of that, Legends. Forever Strong and Semi Private.
and then we'll look through, we'll roll through some of your posts. So this looks like 750 classes. So you gave some, you give people shirts when they hit certain class milestones.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. They get a mug at 100, they get 300 t-shirt, 500 t-shirt, 750 hoodie. And we've just got someone that's about to hit 1,000. We haven't even decided yet. So if they're listening to this, they don't know who they are yet. So very much, you know, we're all about making sure the journey.
All right. And then here, let's move over. This is the Instagram. So classes 101 PT, success stories, your kids class, pushing people to a free intro. And then it looks like it's the same content from the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And so you're saying the majority comes from the ads.
Yes.
Yeah, I think most of our leads. The thing with Slough, our Slough site, is we're in a cul-de-sac and we're really hidden away. So Slough particularly is very dependent on ads.
Yeah.
Whereas Windsor, we have a far greater proportion of people referring friends and family to us. And I think that also, just to talk about how that affects our marketing campaigns, is that is exactly the point, is although we're the same business, we have to treat the two sites differently in terms of how we tackle our marketing campaigns.
How much are you spending every month?
I think it's about £700 per site.
A month.
Yeah.
And you're getting like 60 leads for that? That sounds pretty cheap.
That's pretty good.
That's including.
What's your lead cost? What are you paying for a lead?
Yeah, it's not great. It varies between 80 to about 130. Recently, it was a lot higher because we accidentally spent £90 a day on Google in error. So that was a bad mistake.
That's okay. We had someone hack into Kilo's ad account and spend $10,000 a day for a couple of days. And so that was fun getting that all sorted out. But tell you how much we're running through the Kilo account that you can just randomly spend $10,000 a day and nobody notices. No, we noticed just a little. All right. So 80 to 130 elite. So that math does not add up in my head. So you said you had 60, the last campaign you did, you had 60 people come through, right?
So here we've got 161 leads. This is Windsor, 161 leads. Total ad spend was that month, it was closer to 1,000 actually. And then we had an acquisition cost of about £113.
All right. So 1,000 leads, 161. And that the 161 leads comes from all sources?
No, that is mostly, I think, just in terms of tracking, it's easier just to pull from GLM, Kilo. So that's mostly our paid ads. I'd say in terms of organic leads, we probably get about another 30 or 40 on top of that.
So I'm getting £6 a lead. That's my math. $1,000 divided 161 leads.
£1,000, so it'd be more than that.
Yeah, £1,000 by 161, that's £6.21 per lead. Does that sound right?
Probably, yes. Sorry, my apologies. I'm talking about acquisition cost.
Yeah, she's factoring in the other costs of getting them.
I'm talking about
sold. 80 to 130 is what a client costs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And six is like a lead, is but £6.
Yes.
And yes. So...
Yeah. So on Facebook, we're between
divided five. By... 80 divided by 6.21. So every 13 leads, you get a client.
Yeah, it works out about between £5 and £7 a lead.
All right, so one in 13 convert, which sounds pretty good. Does that sound good to you? That sounds good to me.
That sounds good to me.
Okay, cool. I'm glad we hammered that out so everybody understands. All right, so they're saying they're getting leads for $5 to $8. Every, let's call it 10 to 15 leads, they get a sale. So their acquisition costs all in is somewhere in the neighborhood of, what'd you say, 80 to £130, depending on the month?
Yeah.
Okay. You said the average revenue per member is like over 300?
Yeah, between 250 to 300.
So why aren't you just spending like a bazillion dollars on ads?
Because that's a great question. Di?
Yeah.
Di's tired. That's the answer. Di's like, I'm just tired.
We did do this.
I don't know where to put all this money.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? And you guys will know this because you harp on about it all the time, is the speed to call is the most important part of what we do as gym owners.
Yeah, say that again for the people in the back.
Yeah, the speed to call is the most important part. Text message doesn't do it. Email doesn't do it. It's how fast you can physically get. The text message and the email is a great thing for people to read if they can be bothered. But it's all about how fast can you get on that phone to that client and engage them. And I think that's where we've spent a long time perfecting the right amount of money to spend compared to the right amount of people we can get to on a phone call to the next stage to get them through the door. So when we spent a lot more, it was impossible to keep up. It was like physically impossible to keep up.
So I want to just take a moment on this. I don't know when this episode will come out, but from the time of recording, last weekend, I was in Austin doing a talk on lead nurture, and I was explaining the importance of calling your leads, calling them right away, and being persistent. I got some pushback from some of the gym owners, which I think is a little valid. They were saying people aren't picking up the phone these days. Via SMS, they are more responsive. I'm actually able to book people. I just don't know about this 9-call thing for over the course of 3 days, especially millennials, as they become that target demographic, as they get older and become that 40 year old group that everyone's kind of chasing. Yeah, they're just not picking up the phone as much. And so I guess my question would be, do you think that is maybe just still a bit of a cultural difference between the UK and over here? That's question number one. And question number two is it that your demographic is older, right? Especially for the Legends program, they're still used to picking up the phone. You got to call them. Or is everyone in that room just wrong and they should call them anyway? I guess those are my questions.
I'll jump in here because this is my bag, right? I do, like, if anyone wants to talk about this, feel free to reach out. I do anything between 50 and 100 calls a day. Plus my job, right? So we all know that being a gym owner is not the easiest job on the planet. But I would challenge anyone that if they are picking up that phone and people are not answering and they're not getting people through the door, I'd be very surprised. Because what I've done over the time is I've tried everything. I've tried email, I've tried SMS, and I don't think it's a UK thing. I could be wrong. I know there's certain parts of America that are struggling with this, so maybe I've not experienced that. But in the UK, for sure, anyone in the UK listening to this, you've got to pick up the phone.
Yeah. And I think ultimately people that come to us, is our gut feeling is they're not picking up because they don't want to hear from us. But actually, in reality, the people that we work best with are the people who are really busy. They're the people who are full-time workers. They're the ones who are mums and dads and they've got kids. And, you know, I don't think, you know, we kind of came to the conclusion that there's never a right time to call and there's never a wrong time to call. You've just got to commit to what your process is and stick to it. So we basically give ourselves an hour every day in the morning, blocked out, to make those calls. Now, we know that 50% of people, that's not going to be a good time to call, but it means that 50% hopefully will speak to.
That's a great point that, you know, for especially these higher ticket programs that are more customized and are based around this person's schedule, it's going to be the person who needs that. And the person who needs that is someone who's really busy. So I think that's a really good point. Do you have any tips and tricks for people once you get them on the phone? How do you get them to book that appointment?
Yeah, I feel like I've spent a lot of time doing this. So for me, it's all about being real. Don't sound like a robot. Get on the phone, find out about them, find out what they are actually looking for, and actually try to connect with them as fast as possible. Because otherwise, you're just another person, even though they've given you the details theoretically, you know, from an ad, maybe they got the details automatically went in, but ultimately they have given you permission to contact them. Your aim is to connect with them as fast as possible. And it's not always sometimes as simple as doing 2-minute calls. Sometimes it takes 10 minutes to connect with somebody. But the more time you can put into connecting with that person, the higher chance of them coming through your door.
And So let's say you're banging out 100 calls. How many connections are you making in 100 calls?
So I would say, this is very dependent on the day of the week. I genuinely believe, and I could be completely wrong with this, but I genuinely believe on day of the week, what the weather is doing affects people answering the phone in the UK, right? So if you call on a Monday, even though I will still do it notoriously, if you call on a Monday, people have had the weekend and they're a little bit grumpy to go to work, right? That's the first thing I'll say. Second one is, so if we are doing 50 calls, I reckon I probably get half of the people are going to answer. Out of that, I reckon 20 people will have a good conversation.
That's way higher than I would have guessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then of that, I think we worked out that we get maybe like 5 NSIs on during an hour, of course.
Okay. So 50 calls, you'll be able to get 5 people booked basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of those people we naturally filter out anyway. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend that every gym does this, but for us, because we're a relatively kind of smallish micro gym and we're very specific about who we can help, we kind of don't want to mismanage expectations in terms of being the wrong place for them. So we might actually recommend that they go to another CrossFit box if they're looking for something, a different aspect of CrossFit, maybe a bit more, I don't know, different vibe maybe, depending on what they're looking for. We don't offer a lot of open gym. Some CrossFit boxes in the area offer more. So 5 NSIs, but some of those we will have naturally filtered out and pointed and signposted somewhere else if needed.
Okay. So 50 calls, because that won't be 50 leads. You're probably working old leads. So 50 calls, 5 NSIs. And then you bring them in. Are you nurturing them up until the point of when they show up for their appointment? Like how far out do you book? Like that's another thing we hear a lot, or another mistake we see gym owners making a lot, where they'll let people book like 3 weeks in advance. And like, just by the time it happens, it's like almost 100% chance that person is going to punt or has bought something else or doesn't want to join the gym anymore. So like, how far out are they buying and what are you doing to make sure they show up?
Yeah. I'm making sure that they book no more than 48 hours out. 2 days max. My aim is to try and get them as fast as possible into that door, because that's they've been on the website or they've been on the Facebook page. They're hot, right? They want to go. So try to get them in around their diary, your diary, as you mentioned, no longer than 4 or 5 days. You know they're not showing up. From there, I'm messaging them the night before. And checking that they are actually coming. So I'm sending them a courtesy text message, just like, hey, hope everything's good. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. And once again, that comes back to a moment of realization that our avatar are probably parents, young working professionals. And when they look at their next day and start planning for that day, it's actually usually the night before. So we found that when we were kind of messaging them 3 hours before their appointment or in the morning of their appointment,
it's too late.
So we messaged them around 8 o'clock at night, because that's when they usually sat down on the watching TV, and they're already starting to think about the day ahead. And that's worked really well, hasn't it? We've got about an 80% show rate for that reason.
It's a nice little tip. I like it.
So you booked the 5, 4 showing up.
Yeah.
And what's your close rate?
Depends which site. Over to Lisa.
It varies. It varies month on month. Last month it was 75%. January it was less than that. Actually, it was more like 50%. We were quite understaffed at that point. And this goes back to your question about why don't you just flood your gym with leads? Like, I really feel like I think sales is probably one of the hardest, demanding jobs in the gym. And I think it's really easy for people to get burnt out. And so we're very mindful of that. And I think around January time, because it was so busy, I think that maybe then filtered into the sales and the experience.
Agreed.
When we recognize that, once again, and this is what's really important about having a network of gyms around you. So we kind of touch base with 2 brain gyms and said, listen, what are your top kind of bits of literature for sales? And Chris Cooper gave us the name of a book. You've been listening to the audiobook of it, and then all of a sudden our sales went up 75%. Hopefully it's the book, but I think actually it was just that renewed focus, a little bit of renewed drive.
Yeah.
And I think the psychology of the person delivering the sales and their energy reserves is also really important.
It is sales you can hire out, but it's very hard to hire out correctly, to your point, because like what you guys are saying is true. Like the people who do the best, and like we can see their data. So we know they're not making this shit up. Some of the other guests, they could be completely making shit up. We know that they are legit. We know that Di and Lisa are not faking. It sounds like the same boring stuff everyone says, you know, just being fast, being available, getting people into the gym quick. And that sounds, and like to do that properly, you need to make personal sacrifice, which kind of sucks, but, you know, that's one of the sacrifices you need to make to run a successful gym, because people like to work out and like to buy workouts in the morning, late at night, lunchtime, all the times that like they're not working. And that's when you have to work, unfortunately, because that is the life you chose, gym owner.
I have one more question. I wanted to take it's a step back in the sales and marketing process here, but when you're on the phone with your leads, I always struggled with finding that balance between like, well, I don't want to have my full sales consult right now over the phone, but I do need to pre-qualify a little bit and I do need to get them booked. So can you give us like, you don't have to do the whole sales script, but maybe the structure that you like to use where it's like greeting, rapport, probing questions, and then appointment, or maybe you do it another way, but yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I've been around the houses with this, as you guys are very much used to, right? But for me, it's like, hey, Mateo, how you doing? I've noticed you've been on the website. Just a quick call. I'm not going to take up much of your time. I just want to find out a little bit about you. And then generally people will start talking. Right. People don't sit, like very few people will sit quietly on the phone. And at that point, I'm like, yeah, okay, brilliant. I mean, what you're talking about is what we do. These are our services. We do, you know, one-to-one, we do semi-private, we do group training. Does that sound like it would fit with you? Yeah, sounds great. I mean, this is obviously very basic,
yes,
what I'm doing you now. But then from there, right, great. Okay, no worries. Well, listen, this is the baseline of our service. This is what we offer. When would you be free in the next 2 days to pop in?
To pop in.
And it is literally, you come in this afternoon, right? It is literally as basic as that. I try not to, as you said, right? If you double sell these people, they, by the time they come through the door, it's not only boring for you, it must be boring for them.
Yeah, they're exhausted.
I also like that piece where because you have multiple services, it necessitates, well, you have to come in so we can figure out together which one of these is going to be the right one for you. So now there's an actual excuse to actually get them to come in, and you can have that longer sales conversation and prescribe the best program. Hopefully that $4,000 transformation one, but, that's awesome. That's helpful.
So you guys have been doing this for 15 years, you said. Teo and I have done a lot of sales and marketing training over the past 5 or 6 years, working with many, many gym owners. We find a lot of times that some of the gym owners who are least receptive to change are some of the older gym owners, which is understandable, right? So Teo and I come here and we talk about call leads a lot, call, you know, do it fast, do it frequently. And the reality is, like, when we started, we did not do that, right? But when we started, you could get leads for $1.50. And so you could treat them like shit and you could ignore them. And CrossFit was like a very different part of the trend cycle back then. So you know, that was okay. But like, you know, where we see the gym owners that struggle the most were they were like not the iconic brands, you know, not the Invictus or, you know, CrossFit New England, these name brand gyms, but like the tier down, still like probably best in class city that are still treating their leads like they were in 2016 and obviously isn't working as well. Like, what was the shift, the mindset? Like, how did you change? How were you able to evolve as people who have been in the game for like a very long period of time?
I think probably about 6 years ago, we kind of walked into our gym and realized in the gym, there was such a mix of different people in terms of what they were trying to achieve. And it felt really fractured. And we didn't really, you know, when we decided to implement a new program, it was really difficult to please everyone because everyone was trying to achieve different things. And so it was at that point that we realized, actually, if we kind of are very clear on who we're trying to attract, then that's going to make the decisions that we make in the gym easier. And more people are going to be satisfied with the service that we offer. So I think it was at that point that we realized we needed to take our marketing really seriously. We needed to start attracting the right kind of people for us and our gym so that we could have a happier gym and we could serve people better. That was probably about 6 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And so now you mentor people. You're a Two Brain mentor and you were recently promoted. You are running a group of very high-level entrepreneurs in Europe called the Tinker Europe Group. So it's the bunch of millionaire gym owners talking about making money in Berkshire and Sweden. And you know, I don't know how you make $1 million in Europe since everyone's taxed like 80%. So it's much harder. It's a much more formidable task there. How are you coaching people through this? How are you coaching people through a lot of the roadblocks in the sales and marketing process? Because I do see it's still a lot more prevalent with the CrossFit gyms we deal with than others. And I'm assuming, you primarily work with CrossFit gyms because that's the background you come from.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got about 30, 40 clients in Europe. And I think really it's just having realistic expectations. If we're going to deliver a gold standard of marketing and sales, we'd probably ideally have one person and that's all they do. Pick up the phone, be responsive, phone back. So, you know, with a lot of the gym owners that I work with, it's either they're a single man, single woman ship, and they've got very few staff, or they're just at a point of overwhelm. So it's just about just making sure that needle just keeps moving forwards. And that might look like just making sure they carve out half an hour a day just to touch base with their leads. And that's a good place to start because a lot of them aren't consistently getting in touch with their leads. And I love, because of Two Brain, it's very kind of metric centric. I love the fact that every month the mentees put their metrics and their sales metrics in. And you can really analyze, okay, right, well, listen, if you made another 10 contact points in a week, can you see how that then can filter through into an increased number of sales? And it's a really great moment that they start realizing the importance of lead nurture and how that can affect their business.
Wow, that was a really good answer. So, someone could listen to this or watch a presentation like Teo's, and he's like, Teo tells me to call him 9 times and text him and don't sleep and just have infinite calendar availability. And you could get very stressed out like that if you were someone who is still running every function in the gym. What you are saying is the best thing you can do is have DIE. But if you don't have DIE, you just have to work with where you are and just get better. So if you are not talking to your lead, step one is like, pick a small sliver of time every single day and start there and see what happens to your metrics. And then you get a little momentum. Like, obviously it will go up because, it's just like, that's what happens when you talk to people who want to buy from you. And then you carve out a little more time. And then by then they're starting to see the money trickle in, and that creates more time. And then over time you build up to a process where you got DIE in the back room, just boiler room, 100 dials, setting the appointments in 48 hours. And you're teaching people how to be millionaires in Europe, right? That's the progression.
Yeah. And I think also don't be scared to also outsource it either. Like, it was only last week, was it, or the week before, that we had an 18-year-old making calls for us. Like, he was off on half term. We had loads of leads come in and we just gave him an hour a day just to phone some leads. He was great. Don't get me wrong. He had a great phone voice. But he absolutely killed it, didn't he?
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, you're paying admin rate versus coaching rate, you know? So there's also that value ladder effect, you know? So making phone calls, if you put a coach on phone calls, obviously you're going to have to pay coaching rate for that. So it's just a, you know, you don't always have to use a coach to fill in the blanks. You can also go outside an external, someone who is free, or maybe a family member or someone in your community in-house that wouldn't mind just spending half an hour a day just making those phone calls on your behalf.
I agree. And I think the biggest point I can get across to anyone doing this is it works. if a lead comes in, whatever website you've got, if you can get to them within 5 to 7 minutes, if you're in America and they don't pick up, find some way to get to them, because they will want to engage with you at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. And John, I show my mentees all the time your graph. Do you remember you posted a graph, which was if you contact them within the first hour, you're 10 times more likely to make meaningful contact with that lead going forwards. And I show that graph, I've got it saved on my desktop. And it's a really good visual and realization for gym owners that actually time does matter. But once again, I don't want to overwhelm them, but it's like, as long as you can get closer and closer to that hour point, you're doing better.
Yeah, an hour is awesome. Actually, under 5 minutes is awesome, but an hour is really good, right? Like that's the gold standard that I think most gym owners who've gotten past the I'm doing every single thing myself point in the journey can probably hit. And if you can't, if only there was a piece of software that automatically nurtured these leads for you, if there was only a tool that could do this while you were sleeping, what would a tool like that be called, Teo? What would it be called?
Push press. Just kidding. you could check out Kilo. Kilo is a software company that builds the digital tools that make you money. And we got one of those. We got an automation tool that can help you not just nurture them, but also, if you're a little forgetful, remind you, nudge you, as Dai said, to follow up with your leads. So. Yeah.
For the two of you, it sounds like you got your spreadsheet and, you know, it took us a while to get to the crux of the numbers, but now you're spitting them out real fast. Lisa almost canceled on us. She's on all kinds of cold medicine right now. So she's running at 60% capacity. So even at 60% capacity, she knows her numbers cold, you know, imagine when the brain's at 100%. So, Dai and Lisa, you guys have two locations. How are you making sure all the leads get nurtured? How do you make sure leads don't fall through the cracks? Like, does everything go through you, Dai, like for both locations? Are you bopping between both locations to do sales? Like how does that work? Because a lot of people get punched in the teeth when they go from that 1 to 2 location jump when it comes to having like a dialed in sales and marketing process.
Yeah. All the leads go through myself. However, we have got a fallback system, which is called Kilo. So the Kilo keeps on reminding me to phone these people, even though when I get reminders, I've already called and they tell me to call them again, which is really, really helpful. However, what we are is very clear in our metrics. So every week we do a meeting. We will come to the meeting with how many leads we've had, how many have been contacted, the show rate, the set rate, and then the close rate. Very, very simple, but so effective.
Yeah. And Dai also has a team of sales guys behind him as well. So we're very lucky that we've got quite a few experienced coaches, and we allocate time in their calendars to do NSIs as well, like sales appointments. So although Dai is usually the person at the other end of the phone, thankfully we do have a team that divvies out those sales appointments to avoid too much back and forth. Kilo also give us a list of the last 7 days of leads. So once a day, we just literally go through that list and make contact.
So you're just doing all the things. You're just doing all the things right. Working out for you. Happy to see it. I liked your first mentorship tip, Lisa. What other mentorship tips do you have for the gym owners who want mountains of leads and mountains of sales out there?
I think it's to get a little bit geeky with it for us. I think when we started tracking everything, we even track how many phone calls we make and how many people answer, not because we've got a gold standard of what that number is, but if it starts to dip down, then we have to look at the team and, you know, are they okay? You know, do we need to give them some rest? Do we need to swap in, swap out? You know, it's, you know, I think, you know, too easy is it just to put money into Facebook and expect it just to happen. Whereas actually there's a whole kind of like cascade of things that happen after that lead comes in down to responsiveness, energy levels, day of the week. You know, we actually find sweet spots in the week as well. We find that Fridays for us are the best day to call people because most people work from home. So in answer to your question is, initially, like, find out where you are, like, find out exactly what your baseline is now.
Yeah.
Don't bring in anything too kind of like crazy. Just try and improve one of those metrics, whether it's your responsiveness, whether it's how much money you put into leads, whether it's actually how many, you know, appointments you put on your diary in order to see the sales, you know, appointment. You know, some of my gym owners, they don't have availability for a whole week. So maybe actually just freeing up more space in the diary, training staff might actually be the best option for them to get a better show rate. So sorry, that was quite a long answer, but essentially it depends on the person and it depends on what their current working practices are. But until you measure all of these things, you don't really know where to start. And, you know, that's kind of, we also don't freak out. If we see a dip, we just try and basically get better. We don't try and introduce something new.
That's a big one. We screwed that up a lot.
We is doing a lot of work there.
But yeah. I would honestly say for myself, who does the calls, I know myself when I don't do this very well, the biggest thing that I could say to somebody that's doing this, whether the gym owner, the coach, is the speed to the call. If you can get there faster, the client will engage more with you. You try and call them a day later, unfortunately, that impotence has already dropped. They're not as excited anymore. It's still good to call them. It's still important to call them. But if you have the availability and within that hour to do it, if you can do it within 5 minutes, first of all, they're really impressed. And I always get people going, wow, that's amazing. You've called me so fast. But also, like, they are way more engaged.
Yeah. You know, an example of that is I had a client who was only doing 2 or 3 NSIs a week. And he was like, I just can't get to the phone because I'm coaching. And through a little bit of work, we started putting coaches in place, freed him up more. And then the next call that we had together, he had had 10 NSIs booked in. So he'd already paid for that coach and some in terms of the new business they'd come in.
I told this story over the weekend, but just because that point is so important. I recently bought a used truck off of Facebook Marketplace. And before I was going to go, I wanted
to... Tell them what you paid for it. Tell people what you paid for the truck.
No, I'm not
going to
talk about any of that. It is one of the worst decisions I've ever made in my entire life. But this part was not. So I wanted to hire a mechanic to do a pre-purchase inspection. And I narrowed it down to a list of two guys. One guy had... They both had 5-star reviews. One guy had more, a higher volume of like 75 5-stars. The other guy had like 20. I called them both. The guy with 20 called me back first, and it was within like 5 minutes. And he was the one I ended up going with just because he because for me, it was hard to differentiate between these two. They both have 5-stars. People like them. Really, it was just who's going to get to me first. And I ended up going with that guy. And the other guy with more reviews, he didn't do a bad job either. He was like, I'm under the car. I'm like doing another inspection, but he was texting me while I was already on the phone with the other guy. So it's not like he did a bad job of lead nurture either. He was just, he wasn't the fastest. And so, yeah, I cannot stress that enough. You have to be first. I think there's another stat, like 30 to 50% of sales simply go to the person who just responds first. And so, yeah, I second that point, Dai.
Right. I mean, you got to think like a prospect. Every gym that's a coaching gym has close to a 5-star review, right? If it is a coaching-based gym and the review's under 4.5, that is like the equivalent of a 1-star gym. Because to leave a bad review for a coaching gym in a non-anonymous account with somebody who you have a relationship with, it's not a restaurant like, oh, fuck this place, I'm never coming back here. It's like, you know that person, you have their address, you have their phone number, like you really had to piss them off to make them go that far.
You did one-on-ones with them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know their cat's name. Like, you can, like, the gym owner could cause a lot of, like, wreak some havoc. So a 1-star review is really bad. So just assume that every gym owner around you has the same 5-star review. Like, the things that differentiate is, like, the first thing is just the photos on your GMB. But assume that every gym owner is going to call two or three places. And so from there, it's just speed to response, right? But another thing that came up over the weekend that I think is worth mentioning that we talk about in our episode that is airing today, is that you're also not just competing against the gyms around you. You're competing against indecision, right? That person is ready to make a decision now. Like they're feeling it now. And that feeling is very fleeting, especially if it's around Friday and just fun shit starts happening during the weekend, right? Like it goes away so fast as soon as that rosé hits the lips. So you're not just fighting like the Orange Theory down the street. You are fighting doing nothing. And so, again, it's just another thing where speed to response matters so much because they're feeling it now. At 10:30 when they filled out the form on the Friday, but they're going to be at happy hour at 4 and they are not going to give a shit.
Yeah. The pain is most salient at the moment they just filled out that form. Right. And so to John's point, like doing what I'm currently doing, which is not going to the gym, is way easier than actually going to the gym. So you need to respond to them when they're most likely to actually take an action. And it's when they just took that action of filling out the form, right?
Yeah. Actually, even today, we sold a membership to someone we've been nurturing on Kilo since 2016. Well, actually, sorry, we weren't with Kilo in 2016. We saw in our text messages they'd come in then, and then he came in recently. So all this time, he's been nurtured by Kilo behind the scenes. And finally, after 8 years,
it was a sweet moment.
So talk about indecision. Sometimes it can take 8 years to make a commitment.
Well, that was the other point. That was the other pillar of the talk over the weekend. And something we've talked about in the curriculum and John's talked about is like, it's not just speed, it's persistence. That's the other key piece here. And yeah, you might have to nurture someone for 8 years. But eventually,
one of my biggest regrets is not having not taking screenshots when we were running gyms of some of the stuff that we did. So we don't have concrete examples. I'm not making this mistake with Kilo, Mateo, and I hope you are not either. Like I'm doing some very funny, some lead nurture for Kilo and myself. And I am keeping screenshots of all of these things so we can tell these stories at a later time and day because it's inappropriate now. But my advice to you gym owners, if you are, you know, if you're good at this stuff and people are asking you questions about it, have proof, have some concrete proof, because it's fun to go back and look at that. We're working with Mike Dola at Stronger You Nutrition to just like hunt down all the crazy stuff he did to build like a massive nutrition company. But that is a huge regret I have. So, you know, any of you, I know some important people listen to this sometimes. If that is my advice. Get some pictures of anything interesting and cool that you are doing because it will come up later and later and you'll wish you had some. All right, we're an hour 5. I feel like we really got cooking at that like 20 minute mark. That's when we really started, greasing the wheels there. So, I want to give you guys a plug. So if you want to work with Lisa, she's a Two Brain mentor. So if you are in Two Brain now, you can request to work with her. If you are not in Two Brain, what are you doing with your life? Go to twobrainbusiness.com and book a call. And you can learn all these secret systems that we are talking about that will skyrocket your ARM to $350 and show you how to nurture all the leads. She is also running Tinker Europe, which we mentioned before. So that is the group for people who are doing at least 100,000 in net owner benefit right now and are working towards $1 million in net worth. If you want to see her out there, you are also running and speaking at Coaches Congress in London, correct?
Yes, we are. First ever time that Coaches Congress has come to London. So we've just released that our title sponsors HWPO. So they're coming across. And we've
No free plugs unless it's for Kilo.
We've got Kilo coming. We've got Chris Cooper coming. We've got some Two Brain mentors coming to speak. HSN Nutrition. Gosh, we've had to say no to some speakers because it's been so popular. So yeah, this is a great event. If you've got coaches as well that want to basically do some self-development, some learning, practical learning, as well as listen to some of the best in the industry. Coaches Congress, 5th and 6th of October, London Heathrow.
Rocking. And where do we go? Where do people go if they want to follow you guys? Get in touch.
Dai will be there too. Just want to make that clear.
he's emceeing at Coaches Congress, so just through our Gas Station Fitness and Nutrition channels, yeah. Or Di's got a personal Instagram account.
Jump onto any of our Gas Station channels, Gas Station Fitness Nutrition Slough, Gas Station Fitness Nutrition Windsor. Then we've got kids. Then we've got my own, which is GSF. It's really easy to find. I'm pretty much all over it.
Oh, there you are. All right, cool. I didn't know you existed there. Follow you now. All right, guys, this is awesome. We really appreciate you coming on, sharing your secrets. We wish you a prosperous weekend, and may all your dials be successful ones and all your NSIs be layup sales. That is all for this week on Gym World Worldwide. If you got some value out of this, subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review. There aren't that many, but we know a lot of you are listening, and we know you listen for a long time. Like, I can see the statistics. I was looking at them last night. You're hanging around till the end. So do us a favor. Help us out, because we're helping you. We showed you how to get 300 leads a month. Just leave a little 5-star review. You know, it makes us feel a little more loved. If you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave a hateful comment. Mateo is going to answer one comment this year, 2024. That is his social media goal, is to do one of them. So be on the lookout. It could be you.
Could be you.
Act now. All right, folks. That is all for this week's Gym World Worldwide. We love you. We love you lots. XOXOXO.